Introductions are really important, aren't they? We can tell a whole lot as soon as we start to hear a little bit of an introduction. Our mind starts to race and we know exactly what's going on as we just begin to hear a couple of words. I've got a couple of introductions for us this evening, and I want to see how sharp you are, to see how tuned in you are, if you're able to identify these introductions. There's a couple of songs, a couple of movies, and maybe even a story. And I've got some Lindor milk chocolate balls for people who can guess the answer. If you're sitting up in the balcony, you might be at a slight disadvantage, but you can shout out and I'll do my best to see if we can get a Lindor ball up there to you in the balcony. So are you ready? I'm going to give you a couple of lines, and just it's not school, so you don't need to like put your hand up or anything. Just shout out. And if you're watching online, you don't get any prizes. If you're shouting in your living room, I'm sorry, you just have to go and buy some Lindor ball somewhere else if you're watching online. So here we go. I'm going to give you a line from a song, and you can tell me maybe the name of the song and who sang it, and I'll throw you a Lindor ball. Everybody clear in the rules? Okay. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Journey. Oh, yeah. Stephen Young. That's a bit embarrassing, mate, but anyway, there you go. Good catch. You get it? Yeah, good stuff. Okay, Journey. Don't stop believing. Okay, in 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to a military prison for a crack. Oh, Lee and Craig, brilliant. Can you catch? Ah, superb. Really good. Saturday mornings or afternoons will never be the same again. Here we go. This is a story. These two very old people are the father and mother of Mr. Bucket. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Who's that? Can you catch? Can I throw more to the point? Do you want to throw again? You get it? Brilliant. Good stuff. Okay. Come on, balcony here. You're a bit passive. Now, this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like... Fresh Prince. There's someone in the balcony said that, did they? Yes. There's a hand there. Can we do it? Oh, that was a fail. That was an epic fail. We'll try again. We'll try again, right? Right, okay. Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Okay, there's a couple more, two more. You have to save me here, protect me from this one. Choose life, choose a job, choose a career, choose a family. Train, you've already answered. So, Ricky, do you think that one? Huh? Train spotting. Stop me from continuing there in case I get into trouble. Lastly. That was over here. Davy Strain. Good man. Okay. Yes, there's a few left for my kids. They were saying, can we have some chocolates, Daddy? There's some left. Introductions have the power to take our mind somewhere. We hear a few words and we start to think about a story. We start to think about a song. We start to think about an experience. The introduction is really, really important. So John, as he writes his gospel, knows exactly what he's doing when in his introductory words he says, in the beginning. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, in the beginning. He takes the very first words of Scripture from the opening pages of the Bible and says, Jesus was present there to in the beginning. He's saying that Jesus is God, that Jesus was with God before anything was made that has been made. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son. Jesus always was. There never was a time when Jesus did not exist. He existed with his Father right back in the beginning. And the opening lines of John's gospel alert us to the eternal nature of Jesus Christ. He didn't come into existence at the first Christmas in a manger. He always was. When our kids started primary school, when they went into P1, they were assigned a buddy from P7 who brought their, you know, experience, their 11 years of wisdom, being around a few corners in this school. I've got my life experience. You want to know anything about Green Island Primary School? I can tell you. I know what all those teachers are like. I know what the corridors are like. I know what the classrooms are like. see that P1 teacher, she's a bit bossy, and they're like, that's my mum, actually, can you leave her alone? They could share their wisdom with the younger children. The buddy had been around. I've been here before. These corridors don't intimidate me. I've been here for years and years. And when you're 4 years old and there's an 11-year-old saying, I'll show you the playground. I'll help you out. I'll be there for you. It's comforting. There's a particular comfort in being in the presence of someone who's done it before, who's been there before, who knows it all, who can guide you, who is not surprised by anything ahead of you, who's not surprised or afraid of how things appear, rather than being intimidated by what's in front of them. They're completely comfortable because they were here first. There's a major argument in our house over this seat on the settee right in front of the TV. And if someone gets up to answer the door or go for a drink or go to the toilet, like it's somebody else in that seat straight away. And I'm regularly, and Rachel's regularly called in to, you know, negotiate in a dispute as people are pulling and hauling each other off that particular cushion. And what's the top trump card in the argument? I was there first. I was there. And what John is saying here is Jesus was here first. Before anything was made, before you try and put Jesus as part of creation or make him like a created being, John is wanting you to be really clear that Jesus is the creator of all things. He is distinct from creation. Everything that is created is becoming, isn't it? It's becoming old. It's aging or decaying. It's wearing out. It's maturing or developing, but not Jesus. He was, the word was, with God at the beginning. Jesus is the creator and he makes all things right. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John gives Jesus credit for it all. Do you know, like if you're around at your friend's house for dinner and they set something down in front of you and you say to them, did you make all this? Did you do all this? In the same way that we might point at a cheesecake and say, did you make this? When did you get time to do that? John is pointing at the oceans and the mountains and giraffes and elephants and trees and rivers and saying, Jesus made all this. It's all his own work. None of it was, you know, ready-made, microwavable. Everything was his own. He made it from scratch. He didn't, you know, pop into B&Q. He didn't have to scroll on Pinterest to try and get some inspiration for creation. He made it all from nothing. And that's not just fascinating. It's not just an interesting, cool fact about Jesus. I want you to see how deep a comfort that can be, that Jesus made everything. Everything from nothing. That can be a deep comfort when your life falls apart. When the good world that we live in is corrupted by evil. When bad stuff happens. There's someone you can turn to who made everything from nothing. And you'd find comfort in his presence. When cancer comes, when grief strikes, when a relationship breaks up, when you're afraid or sad, if you're here tonight and somebody's caused you harm, damaged you, it's good news that Jesus is the creator and he doesn't need your assistance or my assistance in order to put things right. He's not looking at your situation thinking, I could really help you if only you were in a better condition than you are right now. He doesn't need you to bring anything to the table because he made everything from nothing. That's who he is. He's the creator of all things. Without, Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He made it all. See, by his power, each tree and flower was planned and made. It's good news that Jesus is the creator because he knows exactly how the world is supposed to work. You here tonight thinking, what has happened in my life? What has happened in this world? This is unfair. This is wrong. This is broken. Jesus would agree with you. It's not supposed to be this way. The world is broken. You and I are broken. We can see in newspaper headlines that the assessment of the world is not good, but we can look in the mirror and come to the same conclusion that we are not good and we need help. We are broken. And you'll never come to Jesus with a problem and he'll say to you, well, that this situation that you find yourself in, it's actually the fault of the person who was in charge before me, before I got here. I've only recently taken up the role of being sustainer of the universe and creator. He's seen it all. He knows it all. He's the sustainer of the universe. He was always in post. He knows how things are supposed to operate. He made the world and it was good. We rebelled. Humanity walked away from God and our world is broken. You and I are broken and Jesus can make all things new. There's a guy called Charles Steinmetz. He was a mechanical genius and a close friend of Henry Ford. And Charles Steinmetz actually made the assembly line and the mechanical system that Henry Ford's company used as they were making their cars. And he actually had a reputation for being able to assemble a motor in his mind, to break it down and build it and to fix a problem in his mind. And so he was an absolute mechanical genius. And when he actually built a motor, it ran with precision because he had such a sharp mind. And one day in Henry Ford's factory on the assembly line, the plant broke down. None of Henry Ford's employees could fix it, and it was frustrating, it was costing them money, and they called Steinmetz. And he tinkered for a few minutes, threw the switch, and everything ran like clockwork. And it was amazing. A short time later, Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. And Henry Ford wrote back, "Charlie, don't you think your bill is a little high for just a little tinkering?" And Steinmetz sent a revised bill back saying, "Tinkering, $10. Knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Bright mind. He knew what the problem was. He knew what the solution was, and he was able to fix it. The creator, the maker, can put it right. And because Jesus made the world and everything in it, because he is our creator, because he is your creator, he knows the brokenness in your life. And he's able to mend it in a way that you and I can't. We did not bring ourselves into existence. You did not will yourself into existence. He alone can bring about order where there's chaos. And so John deliberately uses creation language. He uses Genesis terminology so that the readers who hear his voice know that Jesus is the one who creates out of nothing. He doesn't need a basis to work from. He doesn't need your assistance or my assistance. He doesn't need you to be in a better starting place than you are right now. He doesn't look at you and think, I could do something if only. Jesus, the maker, will make all things right. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus still has that kind of power. No matter how broken or hopeless you might feel tonight, no matter how disappointing or frustrating or sad your circumstances are, Jesus still has that power. Jesus can make something beautiful out of your life. Are you daunted by Christmas? Do you feel a weight of expectation from others? Do you wish things were different? Are you weighed down by responsibilities? Are you saddened by grief that taints even the very good experiences of life that make you think, this would be good, but I'm sad because someone is missing. It's into these exact circumstances that Jesus ministers. Right into the very heart of that sadness and frustration and disappointment, right into your powerlessness and weakness, Jesus the Maker will make all things right. Martin Luther said this, I think it's brilliant. He said, God created the world out of nothing, and as long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us. You ready to humble yourself? You ready to get rid of the pride and say, I'm nothing, and I need you, God, to make something out of me. I can't do this. I'm not up to it. I'm fed up wearing a mask. I'm fed up pretending that I'm okay. Jesus, the Maker, will make all things right. Your current nothingness is no barrier to the power of God to recreate you, to transform you. You feel empty. Is life chaotic? That's the very ground zero from which Jesus made all things. And so he doesn't look at your life and feel intimidated by it. He's able to create from nothing. That's the kind of place that God does his best work out of emptiness, chaos, and void. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The creation the incarnation actually has been described, the incarnation, the coming of Jesus has been described like the artist painting a scene, setting down the brush and stepping onto the canvas himself, or an author writing the story, setting down his pen and stepping onto the story, stepping into the story. The word that created all, the word became flesh. Let there be light. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Jesus the Maker will make all things right. But he also overcomes darkness because he is light. Some of you know that I like to run. Something I do in my spare time. I enjoy it. It's a good way just to get out in the fresh air. I'm part of a very exclusive running club with two other people called Andrew and Gary, and we've been named AGM because it's Andrew, Gary, and Michael. And we run at a ridiculous time in the morning. And there were areas around where we live that we weren't able to run because there was no street lighting. And we couldn't run. When you come out of Farm Lodge, where I live, and turn left, you come into a new council territory called Antrim and Newton Abbey, right? It's dangerous territory. I'm in Mid and East Antrim. If you live here in this area, it's Antrim and Newton Abbey. And there's a section with no street lighting. Hedgeley, where else is it? The Brambles. Once you get the Brambles, you're sort of safe. It's that kind of section in between. It's dark and there's puddles, and you just couldn't venture in there. Monkstown Wood was a bit intimidating. Newton Abbey Way, you just wouldn't go there because it's just pitch black. Until I made an investment. Look at this. All the cool guys are wearing these, right? Right? So this is amazing. This is actually brighter than car headlights. It's so good. It's going to blind you all. So if you see three athletic-looking men, handsome, running early in the morning with head torches on, you'll know it's AGM, and you'll be really impressed with us, right? You toot your horn and wave and all. It's brilliant. So we've made this investment. Actually, there's another setting which I'm going to use sometimes, like a disco setting. Where is it? Look at that there. I'm obviously easily entertained. My kids have disowned me, and my wife thinks I'm totally nuts, but I'm like, this is cool. Everyone's doing this. But I'm not, like, there's places have opened up to me to run that we just wouldn't have run in the early morning because you'd have been stepping in all sorts and maybe covered in puddles and or water. And I actually ran into a bin one time and I was running in the dark because it's the same color as the darkness. And it's like, but there's so many places now that we can go because we actually have our own light with us and we're able to run. And there are places that you just wouldn't have ventured into. There were no go areas that now are possible to go to because there's light. There's light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, John says. Light always overcomes darkness. Light always wins. You walk into a room and you flick your torch on your phone, it lights up. What was once dark is now light. What are the dark areas in your life? What are the places you'll not let your mind go to? What are the thoughts that you push away because that's just too unpleasant to think about? When darkness falls like a blanket upon your life, what do you do with that? What sin are you most ashamed of or embarrassed about that you really want covered up? What is it that's so badly broken beyond repair that you think, keep it hidden? John says that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He overcomes darkness because he is light. Just as we finish up this evening, I came across an email in the last 2 weeks I received from a member of the congregation who had been battling cancer. She'd had a positive experience of being in worship during a challenging time in her life. And she wrote me an email to say, I was having a bit of a wobble. She spoke of how the service had been a particular help to her and how David Carnegie and James McAllister had prayed with her after worship. Then she said, I left church feeling more able to cope. I actually felt lighter. This is the ministry of Jesus. To all who wobble, to all who are weak, you can feel lighter. You can have an ability to cope, not in your own strength, but in the ability that he gives you, in the strength that he gives you. He equips you to face the darkness of your life with the light that he alone can give. He generously gives us his resources when we are resourceless. And John wants his readers to know that Jesus dispels the darkness always. There is nothing that you have to face that you cannot overcome with him. He overcomes darkness because he is light. Nothing will wobble Jesus. Nothing. Not even the darkness of death. And it's why in the 23rd Psalm, when David is worshiping God, when he's speaking of Christ, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because you are with me. May Jesus, the light of the world, be present with you this Christmas time. Jesus, the Maker, will make all things right. He overcomes darkness because he is light. Let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that nothing is so broken that you cannot mend it. We thank you that you are the creator of all things and you sent your son Jesus into the creation that you made. Thank you, Lord God, that light always conquers the darkness. And we pray that we would know that light personally in our lives this Christmas time. May we know the light of the world who stepped down into darkness. And may we worship him because he changes everything. Nothing is beyond him. No situation too dark. No difficulty too hard. No sadness too great. Thank you, Lord God, for the hope of Jesus who banishes our despair. Thank you for his promise to be with us always. And we pray, Lord God, that we would know the reality of Jesus' presence with us as we continue in worship this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen.